Jenna likes her coffee black as her soul, and her tea bitter like her soul.
I don't like my tea bitter, though. Like, that's the whole thing.
Well, that's
thing.
Because you don't have a bitter soul, Jenna. I was giving you a compliment.
I would need a soul before it could be good. Bitter.
Greetings, Afropossy. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Afropos Nothing Podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And if you can tell by the timbre of our voices,
that we
may have had our first weekend of the Renaissance Festival.
Good Christ. I don't know that I had it as much as it had me.
It had me five ways from Sunday, let's be fair. And it started on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm very sad, but I will take it.
No, that was cosmic balance right there.
Oh, God.
Thankfully, we have hot toddies
sitting in front of
us. So, James, tell us about these.
Thank you, James.
This hot toddy is brought to you today by...
Don't talk too long. I want to drink
lemon juice, honey, and a Bigelow spiced chai black tea.
What's the booze in it?
Oh.
The important part, right. James.
Oh, it's Fireball.
Yeah,
excellent.
It is. Oh, my God, yes. That is heaven on my throat.
Soothing. Yep.
Hey, guys.
What?
What did you do this weekend?
On Sunday, I did a fencing booth thing with Jenna.
So I don't know if anybody's heard of it. But there's this thing called a Renaissance Festival.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it's the Klingon thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
exactly. That one hurt.
And we did that shit.
I did actually end up talking about batlets on Sunday at Fest, so... That's... Now I'm just sad.
Delightful. Delightful.
No, but I did do a fencing booth thing with James on Sunday, which is the one thing I really wanted to talk about. Because my weekend was a bunch of ups and downs, but there was one bright spot. There were two bright spots, Saturday morning and Sunday morning when I'm working booth.
I don't know, the ups and downs is usually pretty well shaded.
Piss off. Hate you. Dick. But, working the fencing booth and getting people to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even, like, I don't even coerce people. I allow them, like, I give them permission to have a good time is really what it is.
Sure, sure.
Like, they're like, oh, I don't know. Or, like, half the time the thing is, oh, I can do that? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
For $3, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, well, I'm doing the back-and-forth hawking stuff, the stuff that's more play, but, like, get attention type things.
Mm-hmm.
I had one guy, he was like, I would take you down in an instant. And I'm like, bring it, show me. And he starts walking over.
He's like,
you
want to
fight? And I was like, yeah, for $3.
Right.
And then he walked away.
Oh, what a bitch.
I know, right? I totally would have fought him for $3. I'm like, it's not even that much. But, yeah, definitely all bluster and bravado and was never going to come over anyway.
He needed that money for truck nuts.
Well, he was in a beer line, so...
I think that's going to be the way that I... Because I don't really like saying small dick energy anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. So I think he needed that money for truck nuts is my new...
I like that. That's good. That's good.
Isn't it amazing that people will get gender assignment for trucks, but not for humans?
Yeah.
Like the same people.
There was a post that I saw about that was like, you know, if your truck didn't originally come with truck nuts and then you got some for your truck, now your truck's trans. I don't like it.
No.
I don't like that particular meme going around.
Mm-hmm.
I like the kind of concept of... So you seem to be willing to throw genitalia on anything except for, like, a practical assignment thing. But, no, I don't like that one because it diminishes the experience far too much. And sometimes things just will in general. We live in a society. Things are weird. But, like... But no, that one I'm just like,
But I mean,
I get where you're trying to ally, but there are better ways to go about this one.
But sometimes you need to speak in their language.
Right. Like there is also, if that does for some reason change somebody's mind,
awesome.
Just fucking done. All right.
Also, their language is nuanced grunts and poo flinging. So there's really not much to.
But yeah, that's not actually gonna. That's not. There's no solid argument. There's no appeal to emotion.
I have found that producing fire before their very eyes will sometimes strike them with awe. But that's
okay.
I've found that too.
So yeah, no. Working fencing booth in the mornings has actually just filled my soul. Normally, I want to kill everybody. Today, I only want to kill some of the people. Yes. Salsa, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We know who's on the short list.
I'm short. So, by definition, my list is short. Also, it's not that short.
Taller than you, but shorter than most.
Right.
Really depends on how large the print is.
Yeah, I went to high school once.
I've double spaced some paragraphs.
Yeah. So, as many people who have been listening to the podcast for forever and a day will know, my absolute favorite thing in fencing booth to get to witness, to bear witness to, is when the littles fight.
Oh yeah.
It grows my heart. Like, I'm just watching, and it is the most adorable thing ever. And for those who don't remember, I will give a brief recap. The rule is, if you can hold a sword, you can fight. But everybody has to be fully clothed, right? Like, we've got gear for everyone, and they have to be wearing the gear. But the really tiny ones, like 3-year-olds... they don't make good gloves for 3-year-olds. So instead, what they get is little mittens.
So tiny.
Little tiny mittens. And they get, and they, we have jackets for them. We've made tiny people jackets, and we have tiny people masks, and we have all of that. But the little mittens are so cute. And so, there's a test. I've seen James do this test as a ringmaster to make sure that the individual holding the sword will be able to maintain holding on to the sword throughout the fight. Where they grab the sword and they just kind of pull on it back and forth. And if the person can hold on, hooray. And if they can't, well, you get another glove.
Right.
Yeah.
Then ray-hoo.
Yes. But the littles, like, so they get to hold the sword with 2 little mittened hands.
It's so cute.
It's so adorable. I don't. Come out once just to see one of these. Honestly, it will make your fucking month. And so there was a family that was going by Sunday morning. 3 older boys and a younger boy, and a mom. And I was like, I see an opportunity, and so I go over to talk to them. And the boys are already like, oh, that looks cool, right? So I'm like, yeah, I'm getting them in my ring.
Sure, yeah.
And I go up to talk to the mom. And I was like, do the boys want to fight? And she's like, well, yeah, probably the 2 older ones. Like, I don't think this guy can fight. And I was like, if you can hold a sword, you can fight. She was like, I have concerns.
Sure, yeah. You're a responsible parent.
Right, yes. No, this is fair. you just told me you're willing to hand my 2-year-old a sword. I have concerns.
Right.
And she was like, well, I suppose she could fight the next oldest brother, but I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. And I was like, here's what we do. We're going to do a turducken. So we've got 2 boys will fight, and then the winner of that fight will fight the 3rd boy, right, for the older 3. And then your littlest one here can fight one of our champions. and I said, our champions are very good at being of equal caliber with whomever they're in a ring with. They are there to make sure that your child has a good time. Yeah. Your child will not be injured. Also, it's going to be the most adorable thing that you do with your day. And she's like, are you sure? Like, talking to you? I'm like, yes. This, I guarantee you, this is what you want. Mm-hmm. So she went with me. And, you know, she checked in with her kids. Like, you want to do this? The little two-year-old, like, you want to go pop balloons with swords? Yes. Okay, then. Well, fuck, like, I guess we're doing this. All
three of those things.
He may have been, like, 2.5, but, like, definitely not yet 3.
Yeah.
Absolutely not yet 3. So they go in, and she's like, can I walk with him in there? And I was like, yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Ask any questions you have along the way. Mm-hmm. Like, this is possibly the youngest kid, aside from, like, Rue's kid, that I have seen mm-hmm. holding a sword. Yeah, so they go in, and I'm still bringing people in. I go about my day. I see that the three boys are up for their tudak, and I'm like, soon. Soon.
Yeah, I didn't even see that tiny kid over the bales. Is the best
part. Right. Right. So tiny. Like, this is the tiniest little I have ever.
This is a little, gotten. little.
This is the littlest and little.
At the booth,
little.
We used to call them pumpkins and may still call them pumpkins because originally we had a jacket that was green and orange stripes that kind of looked pumpkin-y.
Meredith told me that she's got a few more coming out for next weekend, hopefully. So, yes. But this is the littlest little that ever littled.
A little.
And so, yeah, Abby comes out to be like, hey, go on break. And I said, not yet. I have a thing I need to attend to first. Just as this little kid was coming into the ring. And I watched, James, I watched you look and see. Like, I watched your head go down and see. And I saw the delight in your eyes as you understood what was about to happen in your ring. James was ringmastering. Cole was the designated champion.
C. Cole.
Not yes. K. Cole. Wait, Cole.
Cole, yes, Cole.
Cole, 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 Cole,
Cole, Cole,
Cole. I actually talked with him over the weekend, and he's like, I love Cole.
Oh, okay. Well, Cole it is.
So, K. Cole and Cole. But, yeah, so Cole was the designated champion. I'm watching him before he even gets the mask on. He's looking at this tiny thing just like, we're going to have so much fun.
But like, the best part about it is that, like, Cole is just a mountain of a man.
I know.
Too.
I know.
Yeah. That's why I call him the ox bear now.
And so, yeah, I mean, he is very tall. He's very broad. Mm-hmm. Not very specific at all. And that was for you. You're welcome, James. And so, yeah, this big dude is now, like, putting on his mat. Like, he made sure that the little could see his face and knew that he was a person. Sure, he's very good about all of this.
Yep.
And he puts the mask down and he gets down on the ground. And over the course of this fight, Cole just kept getting closer and closer to the ground.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to just watch him closer and closer and closer to the ground for this tiny little thing.
Like, the video I saw, he was full Quasimodo down.
Like, he was functionally like spider crawling.
Yeah, his face was on the ground. Yeah,
no, his mask was damn near dragging on.
Yeah, if he didn't need to have a sword, he would have been doing push-ups.
Yeah.
Basically.
Right. And this little kid, this adorable little slip of a human, had focus.
Yes.
He had determination.
Yes.
And he had just enough coordination to be able to lift and somewhat swing this sword. And it was the most precious thing.
Holy shit.
We started, I watched for the audience. Because this is actually a thing I watch for hawking and things like that. I'm like, okay, who am I going to be able to grab? Who can I be like, well, that thing did it. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. And I watched the audience go from roughly 7 to 10 people.
Sure.
To probably about 45-50 by the end of this match. Because everybody had to see this little kid.
Yeah. Oh,
also, it was a very long match because it's a little kid.
Yeah.
I don't think the first balloon was popped until about 3 minutes in, my rough guess.
Yeah.
But when that first balloon was popped, there were, I think at about that point, around 30-ish people in the audience. And they were just like, yeah, kid! So supportive and so cheering.
An eruption.
And like the entire time this kid's in there, like people are shouting encouragement and like, yeah, hit it, go for it, and all this other stuff. And James is doing the little balloon thing where he's like, the balloon's right here, man, come get it, buddy.
And Cole was like, what is going on over there? And I was like, I'll let you do your thing. Just stepped away.
And Cole is doing the thing where he's like tapping his mask and he's like, come get me. I'm gonna get you. But like in the most childlike way that you talk to a 2-year-old ever. Yeah. And this guy, he got the first balloon, and like I watched his stance go, oh.
I can do this.
Yeah.
Oh. So it took him another 2 minutes, roughly.
Yeah.
It wasn't as long as the first time, but the second balloon took him about another minute and a half to 2 minutes. Over the course of which, at some point, I learned that his name was Elliot, and got the audience to chant his name, and that took next to zero encouragement.
Sure, yeah.
I started Elliot, and like on the second one, I already had three people with me, and by the third one, it was the entire fucking group. And yeah, so he finally pops this last balloon. He's victorious. I go around because I have to meet up with this family again to, check in and be like, do you have a good time? Those three older brothers, when Elliot came out, disrobed and came out towards his family, those three brothers were like, oh my God, Elliot, you beat the champion. Oh, you did such a good job. And they were the most supportive three older brothers. And, like, that just grew my heart all over again.
Yeah.
Like, I was already like, oh, this kid is just everything. And then those three brothers, I was like, well, I'm full. I need to go for a cigarette now.
So, I actually want to... James, what did you have him do for his victory stance?
Oh, well, Cole just died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like blah.
Of course.
I didn't even have to coach Elliot to do anything. He just raised like sword up in the air, fist pump, in the tiny little mouse voice. Oh, I was fucking losing
so
it.
Good. Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the cutest goddamn
that's
thing.
That's so good.
That was hands down the highlight to my fucking weekend.
Fucking like, so good.
It was, and then I checked back in at Booth like later in the afternoon. Apparently, he came back.
Yeah.
He came back to do another fight. And Josh got to ringmaster, and Eli got to be the champion.
Nice.
With their weird ass mask of fuckery.
Yeah.
But Josh
it's
was
a
like
Kokiri leaf.
Oh,
yeah.
With the little squinty eye.
Yeah.
Josh was like, it was Eli on Eli, and Eli won, like, kind of thing, right?
Right.
But, yeah, apparently at one point, the second time around, he was like, or like, throughout it, he was, like, more feisty. He was like, I'm gonna beat you, kind of shit, right? I'm gonna get you!
Oh, he's already on the shit talking.
Yeah, we trained him real quick.
So how long until he's old enough to join the festival booth?
16 years.
Yeah.
Just 16.
Yeah.
That's gonna be tomorrow if the last few years of my life have been any indicator.
Shit.
Oh god, my god. He was just the most precious thing. Yeah. So awesome. Precious. So yeah, that was the highlight. I didn't get the costume done that I wanted to get done for Fest. So I pulled together bits and pieces of previous years and got to wear many years of festival on me.
Which is usually something that you just do throughout the season.
Yeah, usually I accumulate throughout the season. I just start it off like...
You can take the boothie out of Fest, but it takes probably another 9 to 10 months for the boothie to sneeze out the rest of the Fest.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, so I'd been working on a particular bodice concept that I had.
Yeah.
reversible with a little pocket thing, mm-hmm. all this other stuff. And I got the pocket thing done, and the pocket thing is actually pretty fucking awesome.
Nice.
But I started to rush into the wee hours, and it was starting to pucker in places I didn't quite want it to, and I'm like, I'm going to have to redo all of this.
Yeah.
I just don't, I'm not going to make it a goal to have it done for this season.
Fair, yeah.
What I wore this weekend was great.
Sure,
yeah. It did everything it needed to. It felt like a good booth costume. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a bright orange skirt. Mm-hmm. Orange.
I love you too.
Yeah. It's James' representative. James is the one that roped me into booth stuff in the first place. So,
what does that have to do with oranges?
He loves orange.
I love orange.
He loves the color orange.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Okay. You just said it like it was significant in some way, and I was like,
I mean, we've talked about this many times on the podcast, but you said it over and over again.
You said the word of a color, and it just washed over me.
That's fine. I bet at least two of our listeners got it right off the bat.
Probably.
Please post in the Discord if you got it right off the bat.
Oh, shit.
Got what?
Oh, my God. Fuck. But yeah, so like I did all this other prep stuff, and much like when I came up with the Nettie character, it was all of the whatever I had on hand did fucking fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just like, all right, well, I might just wear that the rest of the season. I might still try to get it done because I have the bodice itself, I have an idea for how to make it also court appropriate.
Mm.
And I would love to go play with court once or twice during the season. Mm-hmm. I have an invitation to come hang out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What, do you know somebody?
So, like five people. Possibly grew up with the king and the queen.
Well, yeah.
But yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's still kind of on my plate, but mm-hmm. I've decided to remove all of the pressure onto it.
That's yeah.
And if that means that I end up making an incredible bodice for next year, so be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do want to get it done for this season at least once or twice though. that's really the highlights I wanted to hit. Of course, gotcha. I could talk about Fest for several hours, but
sure.
I might.
Couldn't we all? Yeah.
I may allow the two of you to have an opportunity to talk about the festival. Mm. You are welcome.
You're so beneficent.
I am.
All right. That was absolutely a highlight. Similar highlight was K-Cole. Not the correct K-Cole. Cole.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cole.
Two things. First, Cole walked into the ring with someone holding her mask, and he turned to me, and I immediately trust what he's doing because like he knows what he's about.
Yeah.
And as much as we fuck around, he takes specific things incredibly seriously. Safety being one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. Patron safety being one of them.
Right. Yes. No. Good qualifier.
Right. And so he turned to me and he sort of whispered, claustrophobic, just give the rules. And I was immediately on board. So I gave the rules, and I said, got it. Are you ready? The mask will just disappear when you put it on. Right. From my own personal experience, the mesh just becomes invisible. Right.
Right.
And, she was like, yeah, like, I could see she was steeling herself to put her whole head inside something that was form-fitting to her head.
Right.
And she put it on, and I kind of took a breath and waited, and I was like, good? Ready? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, ready to play with swords? Yeah. Great. And then just launched into it, made it go not as fast as possible, still, you know, show, made it a game.
Move things along, yeah.
But, yeah, and then got her out of there, and Rue was on it for helping her out of the mask and everything right away.
Yeah.
And she left, and she was just beaming, sitting in the audience.
Fantastic.
And just stuff like that. Like, again, that and the tiny, tiny 2-year-old pumpkin fighting Cole.
That's so
cool. Just trying not to cry. Both when this small girl with claustrophobia overcame her fear of being put into a mask to fight,
yeah, within
at
the
least
moment.
Long enough, yeah,
yeah,
and had a good time, and then also when the audience just exploded for Elliot, right?
Oh god,
fucking fantastic! So those things, and also it was about 10:30 or 11 on Saturday that Cole came up to me with some cough drops and a fresh batch of water and said, you do remember you're working a full shift, right? Because now I'm working half of my day
right
at the booth, a full half, and not just the first couple hours. And I said, yeah. And he's like, yeah, you're not ringmastering like you're going to be working a full shift.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And as the listeners have probably noticed, I definitely
did not.
I did my best to slow down, but I really just
went too fast, too far, too soon.
Opening day adrenaline,
yeah.
So both on Saturday and on Sunday,
happens to the best of us, and also us three.
I'm learning to pace myself a little bit more, but. I was in there for functionally my entire shift, except for breaks, both Saturday and Sunday, and it was magical. I had such a good time both days. And then went and did comedy with Kyle, and...
you forgot your air quotes.
Oh, sorry, did comedy with Kyle.
Nope, that's not where God damn it.
You said that, and I was like, I know where this is going to... Yep. I know exactly what he's going to do.
And I knew as soon as I said it, which is why I was able to be on top. Yeah, we all knew. We all knew.
No,
it's
not
still wrong, but we all knew. God damn
it. So, our like ride or die fan found us again. and she and her husband are just so great. So we got to tell her our newer jokes, and she loved that. She actively researches or writes new jokes to bring to us, too. But this year, she said, I have a surprise for you. My husband has a joke that he heard your sandwich joke and... for some reason loved it. Right? She didn't say for some reason. That's me paraphrasing because...
editorializing.
What the shit. Yeah. It's not a good joke, but it is... What it lacks in quality,
a joke.
It makes up for in quantity.
Yes.
So, he heard that joke, and apparently he went home and started writing one of his own. He felt inspired to do this. And then...
No, there is no way you guys should inspire anyone to ever.
He wasn't inspired. He was infected.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Salsa.
This joke
that is
got inside
better.
Him and laid eggs is really the... Yeah. So, the best part, my favorite part about this is that he's a member of Toastmasters.
Yeah.
Which is a speech and presentation giving group.
Right.
And they put on a competition, and he brought this joke to the competition.
Oh, my God.
That was his entry. That was his monologue, was this...
Oh, my God.
This fucking phenomenal Shaggy Dog joke.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And he made it through 2 rounds of competition with it.
Oh, my God.
Nope. Nope.
And look, I'm so proud.
I did speech in high school. I did humorous speech in high school. Mm-hmm. I am angry because I know if somebody had brought something like that to the humorous section of speech in high school, they probably would have beaten me.
Oh.
Like, and I made it to sectionals.
Sure, sure.
Like, I was no slouch. That fucking joke probably would have beaten me.
Fuck.
Angry.
But, yeah, he wrote a quality joke, too. And I mean,
I'm conflicted in this moment because I don't know this person and I don't want to negate their abilities or make judgments. I'm just having a hard time with a good Shaggy Dog story.
I think
joke.
That if you listen to it, you would like it a lot more than mine for two reasons. One, I'm not delivering it,
absolutely.
Which I think is 100%.
Absolutely, that's a part of it.
It is a lot like eating German food in Germany.
Mm.
It's the best of what it is.
There you go. So,
All right, I can settle on that.
There's definitely a worst joke in there, but we'll go with it.
Aww.
All right. So, that may even have been the joke that you were making. The best of the worst.
I don't think it was.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Good. All right.
Well, no. It just
not the worst, but the
The worst pun was the not what I was making. I was literally saying German food in Germany is really, really good. German food.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair
no,
enough.
No, I got what you were saying. I got what you were saying.
Yeah.
You made me sad. Salsa made me slightly less
My
sad.
Favorite part of this is that the audience will know you were pointing at me. That's
yeah.
All right. So I
That's
so,
true.
So that happened and we listened and he was like, "You can use that joke." I fucking will. God. Oh, yeah. Stellar. So,
That means you're going to tell it to us later, aren't you?
Even more than this.
Why are we having hot toddies? Can't his voice just kind of
go away?
Karate.
Get out.
Haikiba. When we were rounding out the day, it was 20 minutes before canon. A tween in costume. And I don't know if it was somebody from the village, a shopkeeper's kid, or
a patron child.
A patron, yeah, no idea. Came up and she was like, "Dad jokes, huh? Well, I've got one for you." And there are photos.
Pause for just a second. Here's the thing, as I'm picturing a tiny, tiny tween, right?
Uh-huh.
In an adorable costume,
right.
Doing their thing.
Uh-huh.
And then James.
Yeah.
With his sword deep voice thing going, in a Barry White thing, trying to speak as this tiny, tiny tween girl.
Let's hear it.
No, you just did it, though.
Oh,
you're like,
yeah.
Well, I've got one for you. I can't even do that.
Joke for you, yeah.
And I'm just like, nope, this just broke every shame that I had in my brain about this situation.
Yeah, it was like Dr. Mrs. the Monarch. I'm Lady Au Pair, and these are my murderous Muppets.
Okay.
So, yeah. She... interspersed by her own inability to overcome her laughter at the punchline that she was eventually going to deliver.
Sure.
Gave us what was probably a 5 to 10 minute Shaggy Dog joke.
Nice.
And just a real polished turd of a dad joke. And I was honored to be the victim of this. But also, Kyle and I exchanged a knowing glance when we were about 10 seconds into this. And that look that we communicated telepathically said, "We deserve this. This is... Our upense has come." Yeah, this is divine retribution.
Oh, look, my petard.
So...
Foisted by your own Picard.
Yeah, foisted by your own Picard. She told this long joke again and had to take little breaks to laugh and run in a few small circles to get herself settled back down enough to get to the next leg of the joke. And it was a six-legged dog. Yeah, Jesus. And so Rachel, who works at the shop nearby, partner of mine, she took photos of us absorbing
your just desserts.
Mm. Yeah, it was. If you have seen the ice cream eating challenges, where it's like a scoop of all 31 flavors, and if you eat all of it, the wheelbarrow of ice cream, you get a pin that has a pig on it with a little party hat or whatever, right? It was just desserts, but it was that sized. Fuck. But we laughed. I gave her a dollar, and then we gave her a couple more dad jokes, and she laughed and gave us the dollar back. Shit. Yeah, no.
Oh, that's possibly the best part of the story for me. For me, that is definitely the highlight.
So, yeah, we had twice in the same day we were accosted.
Oh, my God.
Fuck. Yeah, but it was a solid weekend, but I definitely pushed myself pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that at the end of the day, I can't remember which day, but we walked past you and Kyle, and you were telling jokes to this guy, and he just looked like he had no idea what was happening. Because, like, you said a joke, and I'm back there going, oh, fuck's sake. And he just looked at you like,
what?
What?
We had a few of those, yeah. And couldn't tell if they were sun-drunk or just regular flavor-drunk.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just amusing because we walked past, and he's just, like, looking at you. And you're rattling him off at machine gun speed, and he just looks like he has no fucking clue what is going on.
All right, paid us.
He was like, jokes, huh? I'll pay you a dollar. All right.
Here's the thing. I'm not your flavor of comedy. And I use the term loosely.
Both, all of those words
is not my general cup of tea. Mm-hmm. However, if I could happen upon a scene wherein you were telling your jokes with Kyle.
Nice callback.
And I'm sure the audience could hear all the air quotes in there.
Oh, yeah.
If I happen on you guys doing this thing that you do, and there was somebody there watching you, listening to it, trying to internalize it, and failing, that's where it becomes fun.
Yeah, it was. I even remember the joke.
Oh.
It was the one with, yes, somebody broke into my house and stole all of our candles.
And lanterns. Yeah.
We were delighted. And he just looked at you.
Right, yeah.
Like he was expecting a punchline and didn't realize that it had already happened.
Yep.
This is the most honest comedy reaction I've ever heard.
It was amazing. It was amazing because I'm back there just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And he's just sitting there like,
huh?
Where's the punchline?
Right.
And it's already back there, yep. Dude. I'm sorry. We're already way past it. Like, you missed it.
I mean, I can recognize what you think a punchline is. But I also sympathize with the dude that's like, but where's the punchline?
Right, yeah. Yeah, you get to the front of the punchline and the bowl is empty.
Yeah.
God.
We also had, on multiple occasions, people say, have people ever paid you to just leave? And we were like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, how much?
What's it worth
to you? About $5, usually, and they give us a $5.
Yep.
I'll give you $5 to just fuck off. Great.
Cool.
We'll take it. And Kyle and I had a deep discussion about why is it always $5? They pay us usually a dollar for about a minute of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because they don't think that a dollar will be enough. I think they're like, here's five just to make sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the real answer is you can pay a dollar, and you can pay a dollar for a joke, yeah. or for a minute mm-hmm. of jokes, or you can pay a dollar for a minute of not jokes. So what they're really buying is yeah. 5 minutes right. of not jokes. Yeah,
I think yeah. what they're trying to do is outbid somebody who's going to keep you there.
Well, there is
that's
that.
Fair.
Yeah.
But, like, there have been times where I was like, I just need 5 fucking minutes of peace. I just need 5 goddamn minutes. 5 minutes, I can recoup. I can move on.
Oh, Jesus.
James, go away. Oh, shit. Fuck. Damn it.
Oh.
Well.
I was totally going to make him go away, too.
That would have worked. Saul say you can always pay me to leave.
Do you have a credit card, Salsa? You just slap him with your wallet?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know either. I'm a little confused, to be honest.
Amused, somewhat confused, and really hoping nobody got turned on, because I don't want to be here for that.
One of our listeners just blushed.
I'm sorry, Cole. And you're welcome. Cole, 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 Cole. So anyway.
Yeah. Fuck. My opening weekend was really fucking good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
It was really good. Aside from the fact that... So, at some point last year,
mm-hmm.
Anybody who has ever been to a Renaissance festival knows that it's outdoors.
Sure,
it's out there, and so there's critters.
Yeah.
No, I apologize, Jenna.
Need to just leave for a minute?
No, I'll just...
Because I do have a quick critter story.
I'm just going to power through this really quick. Yeah. But at point last year, a mouse chewed through my microphone cable.
No, I already know this story, yeah. So we're good.
Yeah, yeah. I've already
pre-dealt with the trauma yeah. on mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. one.
But anyway, so I had a chewed up cable.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, it was just like, well, shit, I need this. So I wrapped electrical tape around it, around the spots that were chewed up, and then I went on my merry way, and then promptly mm-hmm. forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because there's other things happening.
Yeah, right.
So I get my stuff out this year, and I go, I strap on my mic pack on opening day, and I go, oh, there's black tape on here. Oh, yeah, that's because this thing happened. Mm. I should really go and get a new microphone at some point. But anyway, I think nothing of it. Mm-hmm. And I get out there, and I do my first show, and it's fine. And then I do my second show, and I get to the portion of the show where I take my shirt off. And I have...
Wait, what's the joke that goes with that?
I'm going to lay down on a bed of nails, and I tell everybody, I need to take my shirt off so there's no padding, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I get this very sexy pose, and I go, ladies, and I start to take off my belt, and I go, or gentlemen, I won't judge. Yeah. And then I say, if pasty, doughy dad bod is your thing, then this is the show for you. And then I take off my shirt.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a fun moment, but I take off my shirt, and I have black goo smears on my belly.
Ah. Uh-huh.
From where my fuel and age has dissolved.
Yep.
The black tape adhesive and the black and the mic cable is under my shirt, so it's been rubbing against my belly for the show.
Yeah.
And now I've just got black goo on my belly, and I'm just like, oh, that's a trap. And I think I said something about, something, I got soot smears on me or something like that, just to try to
right.
casually whatever, explain yeah. it to the audience so they're not looking at me like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, I get
what's
off stage.
Your weird
that's
pink.
A terrible tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. No, So I get off stage and I like wipe it off with yeah. wet wipes and I'm like, ah, fuck. So I rewrap new tape around my mic. So I'm yeah. getting a new microphone this week.
That seems a good plan.
Other than that, things went pretty well, though. But yeah, that was just like, oh no, this is, well, show must go on, I guess.
Yeah, the beacons are lit. Condor calls for aid.
No. Other than that, like, my shows went off pretty smoothly, like, really without a hitch. Nothing terrible or really noteworthy for that matter. Just, it was pretty smooth sailing.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's almost the ideal.
I know, really, it is. I mean, you can tell by my voice that I'm not used to that sort of abuse on my throat. You know, not just the sword swallowing, but also opening weekend is always partially remembering how to use my voice correctly. James was talking about this, or I was just like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
because that opening weekend, you're still shouting, and after opening weekend, you're like, oh yeah, settle it down, bring it down into the abdomen. So
like, okay, here's the thing.
Yes.
Like, I'm listening to the two of you talk, and you've got this Barry White thing going on down here, and I'm talking, and I'm like. Like, there, you can tell there's, like, a touch of a strain.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's not nearly as fucked up as you guys.
Sure.
And so my questions are, am I just that much better at projection than you guys are?
Probably.
Or am I not working hard enough?
Because most people are hawking for
5 hours.
Sure. Yes. Most people are just better
four
at things
and a half
than we
hours.
Are.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that. Also, when I am in the ring, or when I'm trying to get people's attention for dad jokes, from the bear stage, I try to hit the shops past the tree.
Right.
You know? When I'm in the ring, I try to hit the other end of the joust track.
Well, like, when I'm doing my shouting stuff, my goal from the edge of the traveler's shop is to be heard into Celtic Cottage. That's like just straight up my goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that becomes easier or harder depending on how many people are in the lane. But like, yeah, it's still, you know, that's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but I don't think I do that as much. I really focus on the one-on-one conversations because that's actually what's going to bring them in more.
Yeah.
Like sometimes people just need to know it exists. Like right after joust ends, I'm like, hey, you guys, we got a thing. And they're like, oh, okay, because they just saw a thing. So they're still in, like, thing mode, right? So, I'm just like I did a bunch of shouting over the course of the weekend.
Yeah.
But I can't really speak for James, but like I said right off the bat, is that first weekend is me just remembering how to use my voice.
Also, you're swallowing swords.
I shuffle cue down there. That's really not good on the throat.
Right.
But
a lot of it is
the chalk.
Have
you tried coating it in honey?
But... Like, I know this about me is opening weekend, I don't use my voice correctly.
Right.
Because the adrenaline hits, you know, you're not used to it, and you start to go up into the throat. And it's always first weekend that I go, whoops, that was dumb. And then I settle down into the chest, and I'm good for the rest of the time. And the rest of it is just trying to get 250 people pumped up and excited.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the more I can get them with me, the bigger my hat's going to be. Mm-hmm. So it behooves me to get my whole audience jumping and stuff like that. So there's a lot of shouting and yelling going on in there, you know, trying to get that. Actually, there's a story I remember now.
This is a quick one.
One of my last shows on Sunday, I had a guy... really large guy, with a white beard, yellow, like, sleeveless shirt, and, like, a beat-up cowboy hat on.
Sure.
And he's sitting in my audience, and he's got his arms crossed. And I'm trying to get everybody, you know, cheering, yeah. And he's sitting back. And I can see his face.
Sure.
That he's engaged.
Yeah.
Right.
He's engaged. Yep. He's not grumpy. He's engaged, he's having a good time, but he's not uncrossing his arms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just like, you know, I want everybody to cheer and applaud, and he just, his arms are locked. And, like, I'm like, this is my mission, is to get this guy to applaud at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going and I directly addressed him a couple times. I'm like, really? Nothing? Not getting anything? This isn't doing it for you?
It sounds like he was really holding it close to his chest.
And the thing is every time I would address him like that, like, he'd smirk at me, and he was having a fun time, and he knew that this was a bit now.
Yeah.
But he was just...
the rest of the audience was enjoying the bit.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I wasn't trying to shame him or anything like that. Absolutely. This was very much a playful thing. But finally, we get to the very end, and I swallow the sword, and I bend over, and I do the whole thing, and I look at him, and he's got his arms crossed, and I'm like, really? That wasn't enough for you? And he just smiles at me, you know? I think I asked him at one point if his hands were glued to his armpits. You know, just...
That happened to me once.
Banter.
I believe this.
But anyway, you know, we get done with our day. And we're done. Stage is packed up. We're walking towards the campground, and I'm going through the narrows, and I encounter this guy coming the other way, and he's sees me, and I walk up to him, and I'm like, what has a guy got to do? and I shook his hand, and he had a chuckle about it and stuff like that. You know, it was all very.
Friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I, I was like, have a wonderful weekend, get home safe, and I start to turn to walk away, and he goes, hey, and I turn around, and he goes, yes.
Oh my god. Oh, that's fantastic. We should leave it on that one. I don't want to leave it on my story.
Okay, sorry.
My story's scary. I'll tell you later.
Okay. No, that was my... fucking got it.
Yes. Love it. Oh, that's so good.
All right. Well,
hey, listeners.
Yeah.
What do we have to do to get you to buy some t-shirts?
Oh.
Bang.
What?
Sweet tag.
Yes. The contest is heating up. We have a front runner at the moment.
Wait. Are you ready?
Oh, should I say who it is?
Yeah.
All right. Which one it is, I should
which
say.
One? Yeah. Not who. That defeats the purpose of the entire contest.
Obviously, Dinosaurs. Dinosaurs is the current.
I love how James and I are both trying not to cheer so that we don't give away whose it is. But if we both cheered, it wouldn't give away whose it is. But we also both knew that Salsa wouldn't cheer.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Regardless of whose it was.
Yep.
So it's just like, oh, man.
So, yeah. No, the contest is still going on. You have, 8 days? 9 days?
Yeah.
Something like that. By the time you hear this,
less than a week and a half. Yeah.
So,
by the time you hear this, you will have exactly 1 week left.
Yep. So get on that shit.
Yeah.
Or rather... Get these
get
on you.
Get that shit on you. Yeah.
Prepare your torsos for this.
Prepare your torsos.
I'm really excited with how this goes. I can't wait to see these in the wild. That is something I'm really looking forward to. But we're going to take a break now.
Okay. Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Your hand farts are just the wrong kind of uncanny valley for me. It's just the wrong side of the valley.
Greetings, Apoposy.
buckle up for the sex.
I thought this was the end. We're podcast. Back.
Yes, it. When we're back, I'm.
This is the Uncanny anymore. Valley podcast.
I'm going to take a nap over here. You two take over.
Okay. And I'm Jenna.
No, I'm Spartacus. I'm James.
We've made that joke.
Several times, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know that it gets better every time we make the joke. Who the fuck are you? What are you doing in your house?
I don't know.
Also,
I resemble that comment.
Also, if you're going to tell me that jokes don't get funnier every time we repeat them, what the fuck is the point of this podcast?
Comedy comes in threes, James.
Yes.
You seem to have missed that memo. Fourth and fifth. Sometimes the sixth, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, you missed the comedy comes in threes memo.
We've been faking it with your comedy for a long time.
Oh.
That just means that you love me.
No.
And you care about my opinion.
No. It means you won't go away.
Mm. Well, there's that too. You haven't given me $5.
You're out of cash.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No, God, no. Ew.
And it's time for a fast five.
Fast five.
Good Lord. What are we doing?
As an aside, I love it when atheists say things like good Lord and Jesus Christ. It just tickles me on the inside in my Christian bone.
Ew.
I have one of those.
Is that like a cuddle bone?
Well, it's a rib bone. Okay.
Well, I mean,
never mind.
Catholics said by Jove for a long time, so I suppose it worked.
Yeah.
Anyway, today's Fast Five comes to us from... Best listener, former friend of the podcast, Gray.
Oh, shit.
Yay, Gray. Mm.
Of course, as best listener, we know he's bought his shirt.
They have bought their shirt.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Opening thoughts.
I bet it's my shirt.
Whichever one that may be.
Exactly.
Opening thoughts. Do you know what trope in media I can't stand?
Trope?
This says troop.
Oh.
T-R-O-U-P-E. Maybe trope.
I was going to say Tim and Eric.
I'm guessing it's like trope, but it misspelled. Either way.
Maybe so.
I'm going to find it more amusing by
if
saying troop.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what troop in media I can't stand?
Yeah.
Everyone who menstruates always describes their cycle as like clockwork.
What?
I do not think I've ever met a single person who menstruates that would describe their cycle as like clockwork.
I have, actually, and it weirds me the fuck out.
Oh.
Well, Gray, you're wrong.
There's not as many of them as there are the rest of the fucking planet, but I have met some. They do exist.
All right. Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
God damn it.
Question number one.
Nice.
Cheetos or popcorn?
I can't eat Cheetos, so popcorn.
I was just talking to somebody today about popcorn.
So maybe it's when drama is happening around you, which is the better snack to be eating?
Or which is the...
And I'm a traditionalist, so popcorn.
Which is the worst one to eat when you're trying to play a video game on a controller?
That would absolutely be Cheetos.
I eat them with chopsticks.
That is...
I mean, it's, this is the way.
It's weird and delightful, and I approve of it, but I'm also concerned.
Huh.
Just how much do you, I'm going to need to talk to Joe about this one.
Yeah.
And this isn't a Chinese thing. It's a, he also is very particular about having things touch his skin. But he doesn't use chopsticks when he's eating popcorn or Cheetos.
Well, I don't either, unless I'm going to be picking up a controller or using the keyboard and mouse. Because then, you're going to get shit all over your gaming stuff?
If I have the option, I'm going to use the chopsticks because yeah, I do have that ADHD not
I'm definitely
feeling of things on my skin. I don't
like having a mouthful of stuff as opposed to, like, I have a napkin. I'll mm-hmm. always have a napkin that I'm like constantly wiping my hands on. Like,
See, I'm much for like, but I will take the cheese ball and put it in my, just one cheese ball and like make it dissolve in my mouth. And then do it one at a time that way.
I have enjoyed that, but I'm also, I'm going to grab a fistful of popcorn and I'm just going to have a, like a traffic jam in my mouth.
I don't need to work them down.
Yeah, I'm done with that one. I want James on the traffic
jam. I prefer
popcorn traffic jam is the name of my second album.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I prefer popcorn to Cheetos.
Okay.
Unless they are the cheese popcorn. The cheese popcorn is an affront to nature. It's disgusting. Because really? Whatever powder they put on there doesn't taste like cheese. It tastes like some sort of weird powder.
Cheese powder.
It doesn't, though. It tastes like shit powder.
How often do you eat shit?
More often than you know.
Somebody say, like, salsa, you eat shit. You eat shit and you die. And you were like,
I grew up on a farm, and B, I've had kids. So more often than you'd think.
Fair. At least the farm part. Like, I also have a kid, and that was never a thing.
Well,
that
your
happened.
Kid was always.
My child was born a 40-year-old woman. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that when your kid was like three, that she probably installed a bidet on the training potty.
Well, we also had cloth diapers for the first year or so, and I hand washed those.
I had cloth diapers. Specifically, there was a time period where I just could not afford a goddamn. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're, yeah.
And the cloth diapers were the only way I could get a diaper, frankly. Thanks, welfare, for not covering that. But
so I'm gonna go with popcorn with the caveat of it's which cheesy snack, and then Cheetos better.
I would say I am more likely to eat Cheetos or something like that while I'm gaming.
I obviously I'm not gonna eat Cheetos because I shouldn't. But fair. I will say one of the popcorns that I miss is bacon popcorn with Parmesan, like, but not the sprinkle Parmesan, the shredded Parmesan, so you get like a little bit of a melt thing going on it. I miss that. But I can still have bacon popcorn, so that's fine.
Yeah.
So my answer is bacon popcorn.
Cool. Question number two. Live action or animated?
I much preferred the animated version of Last Airbender.
Yes.
And that shouldn't even be a question.
No.
So I'm really hoping that's not the context.
I very much liked the live version of Cowboy Bebop.
Sure.
But the animated is still better.
Sure.
I think when you're dealing with more fantastical elements, the animated stuff... unless you have the multi-million dollar budget for the proper CGI. And even then, I would still consider that animated, even if the rest of it's live action. Like, it's just going to be better with animation, really.
I think I got to go animated.
Yeah,
because, I mean, they've been a lot of movies recently have been, like, live action remakes of things. And just the animated is... Like, okay. Transformers.
I will say... I've watched some of the live-action Disney because I was curious as fuck.
Sure. Right?
Oh, the Disney, yeah.
That was what my mind immediately went to Beauty and the Beast.
Like, I didn't think of that at all. Animated.
In all areas, I prefer the animated.
Yeah.
However, the live-action Beauty and the Beast had, I think, a better story. They went into much more detail on the whys and the hows of the backgrounds of the characters. And I did appreciate that. What I want is that story in the animated version.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It was I better still want because it animated. Of the story, not because it was live action.
Exactly. So.
All right. I think we're all on animated then.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. Square or circle?
Circle gets the square.
I mean, that was kind of where my...
Right.
That and...
I just wanted to beat you to it.
That and... is a ring a square or is it a circle? And for me, like, ring one is a square.
Yeah. Boxing, it's a square.
I see what you're doing. I don't like it. I'm just against it.
That's just every day.
Right. So, because I see what you're doing.
And you don't like it.
Yeah, because I see what you're doing.
And that's fair.
So I do a fair amount of woodworking. And while a lot of that is right angles, I primarily work on the lathe.
Right.
Which is in the round.
So I'm gonna go which means that he has an audience sitting on every side.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I think we're going to go around on that one.
Chinese checkers versus regular checkers.
Because
Chinese checkers is on a round board.
Yeah.
And regular checkers is on a square board.
One of my very favorite board games, just for base strategy, is one that you have that I've been playing for 30-something years, and it's Abalone.
Oh, okay.
Which has that hexagonal board.
Yeah.
Well, the same as Chinese checkers.
But that's not a circle or a square.
But it is in the round. Instead of having...
But, like, Go is on a square board, but it's still any angle will do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure I'm going to go with you on that.
I would say, but Go is not about movement. You never move the stones unless you're removing them. Where in Abalone, the pieces are moving.
You still don't really have a side, though, is my point.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Fair.
Although I guess, countering my own fucking argument, Chinese checkers, you definitely have sides.
Yeah.
All right, well, fuck me. Don't listen to anything I say.
Okay. Anyway, James.
Trivial Pursuit or...
Salsa has already been on top of this.
Different trivia board game?
I preempted that.
I had a thing. I prefer circle coasters to square coasters.
I prefer Jeopardy to Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, Wheel of Fortune to Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? I mean, I grew up watching
I don't know where
both.
The squares are in Jeopardy, but...
Well, I mean...
It's the
grid.
The grid,
right?
But Wheel of Fortune has a grid, too.
Wheel of Fortune has a grid, but it's focused on the wheel.
Yeah, it's the wheel
still
is...
Got a grid though. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they each have a grid. Those cancel each other's out. Now I'm doing algebra. Why am I doing algebra? God damn it.
What we have just determined is Jeopardy doesn't exist.
Oh, fuck.
I'm going circle.
Circle.
Right. I'll go square.
Question number four. X or triangle?
Oh, PlayStation.
Yeah, there
and
it is.
To be clear, it's not the word triangle. It's like a delta.
Yeah,
it's an actual triangle.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
Sake of clarity.
The pictogram.
No, it could actually be. What is the Greek letter that looks like an X?
Chi.
Chi.
Yeah. Thank you. Chi or Delta?
Chi or Delta. You two did Greek stuff. I didn't.
Rush. Well, no, it's not. It's not Chi. It's Xi.
Xi.
Is it Xi? I was thinking Xi.
Yeah.
But
oh
then,
yeah.
Like,
Chi is the little like whoop.
The whoop. Thing. Yeah. It is the whoop.
Yeah. You're right.
So Xi or Delta. It's probably not at all that, but no, I wanted that. No, it's probably PlayStation. You're probably right.
Like, do you prefer to have your jump button be the triangle, so the upper button, or do you prefer to have it be the X, which is the button that's most immediate to your thumb in most cases.
The south button.
Okay.
If we're going north, south, east, west with the buttons, triangle would be north, X would be south.
Yeah, square would be west, circle would be east. Yeah. Huh. So I would say I tend to prefer the X button, the one most immediately to the thumb, to be the jump button for most games.
Oh, really? I prefer that one to be like the attack or action button.
Gotcha.
Whereas jump, I actually want to physically push up.
With Salsa on this one. I want my jumps up, my crutches down, my attacks closest to the thumb, so that would probably...
That would be the circle. X or the square.
Closest to the thumb is left or right, though, is the way we were talking about it.
East.
See, I can do east.
Okay.
This gets back to the left and right thing. You were talking left and right, and I'm like, I just don't know which is which. But then my action button, the one across
is west.
From that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so attack on circle and action on square.
Sure.
Yeah. No,
yeah, toward the center of the controller.
I agree with
toward
Jenna.
The outside of the controller.
Right. Attack on the outside, action on the inside.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
And then jump is up.
Hubwise or Wittershins?
And duck is down.
Oh, Jesus Christ. How many crush, different whatever. Directions can we put in this thing? I'm going to say triangle.
Is there a diagonal?
I would say...
How many dimensions are we dealing in? And is there a time button?
There is.
A time button.
Start.
What? Oh, fuck, there is.
Well, let's which one are we saying here?
I'm saying X for jump.
I'm saying triangle.
Triangle is the up one.
All right.
Triangle is the up one.
Question number five. Select or start.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It only took me four fucking hints.
Well, honestly, looking back at it, I would say the
probably
third,
all of
fourth,
the other
and fifth
one, yeah.
are really the only controller ones.
As soon as that one hit, I was like, oh, I bet the
Although,
third one was a controller
looking
one,
back,
too.
I think Cheetos or Popcorn would be
I wonder if I nailed
playing
it on the
video
first.
Games. Yeah.
Shit.
Select or start, how do you prefer to pause your game?
Which is the better key for the menu?
I think the map/menu is better on select.
Map on select.
Menu
on start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, game menu on select. Menu. Actual, like, game menu, like save and stuff on start.
Yeah.
No, I like that one.
Start is the one to the right.
Yeah, start is the one to the east.
Yes.
To the east, yes. Thank you, yes.
Yeah. And that one should be like save, quit, load, stuff like that. And select should be like
inventory type stuff.
Map, things like that.
Yep, I agree with you on that. Oh, I don't like agreeing with you so much, Salsa. This feels really gross.
In a lot of the games
really
that I've played, select is the in-game map, where start is either the... like save quit menu or is the inventory that kind of stuff. But in a few games I played, start is the inventory and character
you just
equipment
said,
screen.
Okay. Yeah.
And then select is just pause.
I want my pause on the start.
I agree with that.
I have a pause on the start.
Yeah. Yep, 100%.
That's what I've decided the context is, so pause on the start is start is my answer.
I'm going to say map and therefore select.
But the other thing I want on my start button, I want more of the console options.
Yeah, that's
what Salsa's saying. Yeah.
Yep. I was like, wait, there's a better way to phrase this.
Like
console
everything, Jenna said it better.
Start.
Well, yeah.
And
it's
then
like you do
game,
this.
In-game options under the select. Yep.
Exactly. Hit the
that's
nail upon
exactly
the
what I want.
I feel the opposite completely.
Mm. I'm not surprised by this at all, James.
Well, my reason being, one, I'm left-handed. Mm. Two, the start button is closer to the other action buttons. And so if it's something that I need to access while I'm moving around, trying to reach across the start button to the select button while moving with the joystick in the left hand seems harder. But if I am accessing, like if I'm stopping the game to save and quit out, I'm taking my thumb off of the stick and I'm pressing the closest button.
I don't generally move and select things that, like, select in-game I've actions at the same time.
I'm trying to remember if that's the way the Tomb Raider works.
Here's the thing, is that I know I am very bad at, like, listing while I'm playing, like, first-person shooters. Mm-hmm. Because I do stop moving to select various things.
Sure.
So your way might be more effective, but I would still never do it, so it kind of doesn't matter, right?
I also don't play a lot of first-person shooters, so...
there is that.
I'm trying to remember in Tomb Raider what the layout between those two is, because one of them is inventory and the other one is, pause.
Anyway, well, quick one.
I want the inventory on start.
Okay. All right, we're going through, and we have question number one, Cheetos or popcorn? Mm-hmm. Which would you rather have for the rest of your life?
Oh, fuck.
Cheeto popcorn. Fingers.
Oh.
Or popcorn husks in your teeth.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, that one's awful. I would go Cheeto fingers.
I don't want any of those, but no,
I mean, then I have delicious fingers, which is its own problem.
Yeah, I can wipe off my fingers. When you get those in your teeth, that hurts.
I might actually go for in the teeth, though.
Oh.
Because I do not want... I would just be wiping my hands constantly nonstop for forever.
Yeah.
And it's easier for me to do other things if I'm still trying to pick husks out of my teeth with my tongue.
God,
I don't like any of it. The entire question is gross. And how dare you, Greg? but no, I'm actually going to go with husks.
All right. Question number two, live action or animated? Which is your favorite kind of adaptation of a Shakespearean play?
Ooh.
Animated, like The Lion King.
Okay.
Hamlet.
Yeah.
Or live action, like New Jack City, Macbeth.
10 Things I Hate About You was live action and is Jesus my Christ, favorite so good. Fucking adaptation, yeah. So that's the one I'm going to go with.
O was pretty good, too. I've got to go with live action.
Sir Anthony Hopkins in Titus Andronicus was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So I'll go with that.
All right.
And while the Romeo and Juliet movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes it sucked out loud, it was a visually amazing.
It was a really unique.
And the soundtrack
was fantastic.
Fucking awesome.
Had garbage on it and stuff like that. The band garbage, not like actual, but
album that has that, Strictly Ballroom and a couple of other things.
Yeah, Midsummer. That was good stuff. That was really good
fantastic.
Stuff. Yeah, I'm
one of my favorite CDs.
All right, question number three, square or circle? Of these two, which is the better cake shape?
Oh, shit.
God damn. Fuck.
So my mother decorated cakes all growing up while I was growing
sure.
up.
Sure, I feel like you have the most expertise on this.
Square.
Oh?
Yes. Because you can cut squares out of a square cake.
Oh, yeah.
Very easily, and everybody gets the size that they want.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you start cutting wedges of cake, then...
But here's the thing.
People complain. And then... Oh, go ahead.
Some squares are going to have more icing than others.
I was just thinking that.
Well, you can scrape icing off. That's easy.
I don't think
that's the direction that Jenna was heading.
Right. Like, I personally am not a huge icing fan, but what about the person that wants more icing? What if there are 15 people that want more icing, so they all want the corner pieces?
Well, yeah.
Dear God, why would they want that?
Because some people like different addictive. Things.
That's terrible.
Because they're children.
Well, that...
Also
children that. Love sugar.
Yeah.
No,
have
square,
you square
is... chemically addicted to it in the same way that the brain receives heroin.
Square is... so much easier and faster to deal with, and when you're dealing with a round cake, you've got to deal with wedges, and then people want different size wedges, whereas a square cake, you just chunk it up and you're done.
I'm used to watching people decorate round cakes on bakers.
Round cakes are prettier when they're decorated.
Just watching them set it on the turntable and just spin it while they move the knife up and down is really visually satisfying.
Talking to the choir. I watched all growing up, but
yeah. I don't actually feel one way or the other particular. I think there are pros and cons to each.
I think circle cakes look fancier.
I do think circle cakes look fancier. I was just about to say that. Get the fuck out of my head.
Have you ever seen a three-tiered cubic cake, though?
No.
No.
It's real sharp.
Yeah, it has corners.
Yeah.
That wasn't even worth it.
Thank you,
God
James.
God damn it. I'm angry.
I don't know.
Question number four.
Four? Four is my favorite number.
Oh, yeah. Lousy smarch weather.
X or triangle. Which has better comedic application in theater?
Oh.
Farts. X. Or burps / belches. Triangle.
Farts. Farts every time.
This is based on where the buttons on PlayStation controllers are.
Sure.
I'm sure James got this, but Salsa definitely needs an explanation.
So why farts and burps in those specific spots for the PlayStation?
Upper and lower, triangle and X.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it. Bill always said that the fart was the universal joke.
It is.
So yeah. I'm just going to have to go with that.
Yeah. Mm.
Neither one is funny. But in theater, if you're doing that type of humor, you're always going to get a bigger response with a fart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. There really isn't much to
I have what I feel is a bulletproof argument in favor of farts, and that is I have, and maybe Salsa, this is your next stunt, but I have never seen somebody light a burp on fire.
Probably a reason for that.
Probably a reason for that.
Because the gas volume is not sufficient.
And it's different.
Yeah. Question number five. Select or start. When eating at a Brazilian steak... Oh, I remember what I was about to say. Sorry. Greek and Roman literature professor in college said the basis of all Greek humor is farting and fucking.
Seems right.
So yeah, definitely farts. Question number five, select or start. When eating at a Brazilian steakhouse, do you wait for a specific dish to come around and select it to begin your meal? Or do you start with whomsoever brings the first dish to your table?
Start. I was correct to pick start.
Yeah, if food's coming at me, I'm eating it.
Yeah, it's meat. I need it.
I might
because
be more of a
when that specific
select.
Dish comes, I'm also going to pick that.
Correct.
But in the meantime, I'm going to be eating.
The thing is, here's where my particularities come through, is that I will often start with the food presented to me that I don't like the most, but still want to eat.
Yeah.
To get it out of the way.
To build up to finishing with the food that I love the most, the so treat. That it still lingers in my mouth afterwards, right?
Yep.
If I am given a plate with steak, mashed potatoes, and broccoli, I'm going to start with the broccoli.
But the broccoli is delicious.
But the steak is the best.
Yeah, but steak is steak. Jenna's correct.
Broccoli is delicious, and I'm going to eat it. Then I go to the mashed potatoes, especially if they're covered in gravy. Turkey gravy is amazing with mashed potatoes. And then I finish with the steak, because that's what I want to have linger.
Yeah.
So I guess I wouldn't do either of those. I would wait for the food that I wanted to eat, but I guess closer to select? That might be closer to select. But I also have to be picky about my food in general, just because I have so many dietary issues, so...
I'm not sure which this counts as, but I always hit the salad bar first.
I think that would be start.
Yeah.
That probably would be
I'm
start.
I'm not even waiting for someone to come around. I'm just going directly at the food I can see.
Look, if I'm there for meat,
yeah,
I'm going to eat the meat.
I find that that's I can eat just... more meat if I eat salad first and last.
Nope. Hmm. I'm just there for the meat.
Yeah.
Give me the meat. Meat.
Why is there no poutine booth at Fest?
Oh,
I don't know, fuck. But that is the best question. I have actually wondered something
holy
like that myself.
Fuck. They have a cheese fries booth. It is next door to the cheese curds.
Just need to get some gravy on that shit.
They have booths with gravy. Fuck.
We could piecemeal poutine together, but they need to be a poutine.
Yeah, they've got like bangers and mash.
Yeah.
Well, like if the two booths are next door to each other, maybe you can just be like, all right.
Hey, excuse you us. Too.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I will give you $10 fucking.
Mm. Get together on this
to
shit.
To just have a conversation. Like, we can call it the super secret poutine whatever. But $10 to have that. Split it between y'all. Figure your shit out. But
at the end of my festival day, when I haven't had a single bite to eat all day, I want to go to a booth and get poutine.
Same.
Absolutely.
That's what I want now.
I would eat poutine every fucking day.
Yes.
The crepes booth is amazing, and I will eat that every morning.
They are very good.
But I will eat poutine every afternoon, and I don't care what it does to my insides.
We need to do some scouting and figure this out.
It's true.
All right.
We need to figure out where we can get fries, cheese, curds, and gravy.
Well, they're all within 5 booths of each other.
I don't know where any food booths
immediately across sell. From the crown stage.
But I don't know what I know. There's food over there, but I don't know what's in them because I never eat there.
There's a cheese fries booth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then immediately next door is cheese curds.
Where?
Just across from the crown stage.
Crown stage.
Queen Gate.
Oh, that okay. Yeah. Tortuga stage.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, why didn't you say that?
Because more acts are there.
The actual name is Crown.
God damn it.
Isn't that Ups and Downs? Stage.
Is that Ups and Downs?
No, that's the Narrows.
That's Narrows.
Yeah. That's the far end of
that's
the Narrows.
That's the far end
though.
Of the Narrows, yeah.
All right. So
just across from them, they have cheese curds and...
No, right next to them. They are neighbors.
Next to the Crown stage?
No. Okay, across from the Crown stage.
That's
Third base. Damn it.
Across from them is the cheese curd or the
cheese curds and cheese fries.
And they're right next to each other.
We need
gravy.
We need gravy and we need a meat.
Okay.
We need brisket. Where can we get brisket?
I don't know if there's a brisket. I don't know about brisket.
Could we get pulled pork anymore?
I think they have pulled pork sandwiches.
They have a pies place over there, don't they?
They have bacon. But that's around the...
The
meat pies place, I think, is the same one that has the scotch eggs. And the scotch eggs might have the bangers and mash.
Yeah, they've got the gravy there.
Well, they would have the gravy. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if they've got pies, they have meat and they have gravy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think...
So we might be able to do all the shopping at 3
Scotch
booths.
Eggs is, I think, 5 booths...
I don't know if it's 5 booths, because, now you're starting to get closer to Royal Asian, and they're not next door to Royal Asian.
I thought Scotch Eggs was, on top of Royal Asian.
No. I think
Scotch Eggs is further.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's, halfway between.
It's right by Grove Stage is where Scotch Eggs is at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think they're actually, within maybe 4 or 5 booths of each other.
Okay.
Oh, God, I really want poutine now.
Yeah, let's go. Let's fuck it up.
What are we still doing here?
At the end of the day. All right.
It'll happen.
Closing thoughts.
God damn it. Gray just called the fact that you went full PlayStation on this.
No. He already did. Or they already did. But
yeah.
This is... By the time you read this, I will be asleep.
This is mid-sip. God damn it.
Fucking bravo. Oh. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send, go to the website, AON Podcast. It's been a long
Please send yourself to the
weekend.
Website.
If you would like please to send in a Fast to. Five, go to AONPodcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five button, fill out the form, and that's all you have to do. Except then you have to go back to where you where the button was and go to the button right next to it where it says it's the AON t-shirt competition.
Ooh.
Yeah, click on that and look at those beautiful t-shirts that we have, and then click the link and buy some of them.
Prepare your torso.
You have not much time left to do so.
You have ostensibly 1 week.
Basically.
Yeah, plus those, like, all three shirts are fucking amazing.
They're so good.
I'm super excited for them. I'm absolutely going to buy the other two shirts after this.
Yep.
All right. Does anybody have a shout-out?
I have a shout-out.
Shout it out.
I'm going to give a shout out to both my boothies and my Dragon Den people for listening to me vent about the things that weren't as exciting over the weekend. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely wonderful. I love my people. They're beautiful. Mushy, mushy, mushy. Thank you. The end.
I'm going to give my shout out once again to Arthur and the Crepes booth for making an absolutely phenomenal breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the breakfast options that are available, and dollar for dollar, it's just fucking outstanding ways to start your day, whether you get the savory or the sweet.
Always savory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I split two of them, and I had the mixed berry and the king's parts, and they are both fucking amazing.
Wait, there's one called the King's Parts?
It's all of the meats.
I don't...
And cheese.
I don't know how I feel about any of that.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about the name, but I know how I feel about the product.
Oh, all right.
At the Crepe booth, I also recommend the Fondazzi.
Oh, sure. That's three eggs with hot sauce and one of the meats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very tasty.
Yeah, that is very good.
I'm going to give my shout out to digital tipping.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Ever since I started doing digital tipping, I have seen an increase in my intake because people at the Renaissance Festival like to come out there and spend their money and then go, oh, I don't have any more money. Whereas now I can go, well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Because now you can just pull out your phone and click a few buttons and... Now I feel better about life.
Mm. Oh, my God. I need another sign.
No, you don't.
Like, from God?
I saw a sign. It opened up my eyes.
Below my also Squire sign.
Life is demanding.
With a QR code.
Are you
going to
elaborate on that? Or
with a sign with a QR code.
Standing. Okay. So, anyway.
You just kind of trailed off there and... Anyway, does anybody have anything to plug?
I do.
Really?
Yes, in 1 week.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thursday, September 1st.
Thursday.
At 7:30 p.m.
P.m.
Doors open at 7.
Doors.
7.
Strike Grand Story Slam Championship. Done.
Oh, okay.
No, so this is the Strike Story Slam Grand Championship competition, which I will be participating in.
Hot damn.
Didn't you do that at Convergence?
Oh, my God, I'm going to stab you. You know, I said I have less desire to kill people. You're still on the list.
Uh-huh.
All right. One of these days, Salsa's going to end up murdered. It won't be me. But every time I have said I'm going to kill him on the podcast, he's going to be brought up in a court case.
Sure. Absolutely.
What does she say? She's on mute.
Fuck you.
Then, no, okay, you just can't hear her for half of the 500th episode. God damn it. And you're going to show them your trophy, and they're going to go, oh, all right.
No.
So the Strike Grand Slam Story Slam Championship is happening on Thursday, September 1st at 7:30 p.m. It is a competition. It is a competition that I'm going to be participating in with a bunch of people that have been doing story slams for like decades. It's my first time doing this Grand Slam thing. I don't have a lot of experience. I am actively nervous and anxious about this particular show. I would love to have people there to support me. And it's one of those things where having an audience that likes you might, you know, just help encourage better response overall.
But I should go anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
So, other big names in here. Jesus Christ, why is my name there? Maddie Gibba has been doing story slams for like 15 fucking years. Mahmoud is listed as an eligible person. These are a lot of people that are eligible. I don't know for sure who's going to be or not.
Yeah.
Ariel Pinkerton.
Oh, fuck.
Levi Weinhagen.
Okay.
So, like, some of these people were even a part of the Rockstar Storytellers group. And I'm going to be competing with them. So I'm actively freaking the fuck out. Yeah. But, I will say, the theme of the night is passion. Stories may range from friendships lost of Magic the Gathering cards, one-night stands, obsessions with mini pigs, what was found on that Eat, Pray, Love adventure, and more. True life tales that relate to passion. Open to all ages, but they don't censor content. It's $15. Strike Theater masking and vaccination policy. All patrons, performers, and staff will have to show proof of vaccination. Either card, digital, or app to enter shows. Masks are required in public spaces. So, like, your performers will be on stage and won't have the mask while they're on stage.
Yeah.
Is basically what that means. The rest of it is public space.
Right.
So, yes. That's happening next Thursday. Like, a week and 2 days from the time of this recording. And I am nervous. Kind of freaking out. And I would love to have support there. Yeah. I just don't know how to beg for that one any more than I can. There's not a lot of shows that I'm like, oh God, please, please just fucking show up. But this one I would really like to have people show up for. So,
absolutely.
And they are being COVID conscious, like, to the max. So, because a lot of theaters aren't requiring masks anymore, and they still are. So, yeah, that's what I've got. And I'm freaking out, and please come. The end. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, at the last Friday of this month, which is coming up, is going to be Vilification Tennis's newest state fair show. And holy fuck, I have seen the lineup, and it looks great. I wholeheartedly recommend it. I'm going to try to attend. I'm not in it, but I'm going to try to watch it. So I'm excited. Bryant Lake Bowl, 10 p.m.
And of course, you can see all three of us at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Mm-hmm. Just go to the fencing booth to see Jenna. Go to the fencing booth in the morning or somewhere.
I mean,
to
fencing booth in the morning is for the both of us. Neither of us are there in the afternoon.
I didn't realize. I don't know your schedules. Why am I saying these things? Anyway, go in the morning to the fencing booth. Otherwise, Jenna will be somewhere and James will be wandering about. And
yes.
You'll find me at the Sherwood stage.
Just look for two big dumb gingers and that's us.
I mean, Two Gingers is a great booth.
Kyle.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then I'm on Sherwood all day.
Yeah.
Cool.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you to Gray for sending in the FESFA.
Yeah, Gray.
Yeah, that was really good.
Mm-hmm. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh,